I'm Christopher Lydon in the village of Aboranza in the central region of Ghana. We are getting Dr. Kofi Sam's lesson in addressing the second AIDS crisis in West Africa, the acquired import dependency syndrome. This is open source from the Watson Institute at Brown University, an American conversation with global attitude, we call it. Dr. Kofi Sam is an engineer with English training and a Ghanaian vision. He ran steelworks in Ghana back in the day before he got hooked on appropriate technology for tropical Africa, for finding modern building materials and clothing, too, for the climate and the culture of a hot, poor place. Tight denim blue jeans, after all, are a Western fashion statement, but what's their place in Africa? And what is Scandinavian concrete doing in new Ghanaian housing? Dr. Sam, here in your sister's house, there's a perfect example of appropriate technology called a hen house. Talk about it.
When I was growing up, almost every household had this hen house with about 12 chicken laying eggs. We lived at balance with nature. The place was kept clean, like you can see. And things like swine fever, all these flus, didn't happen to us.
It's spotless, and the chickens look happy.
Yes.
Aboranza, your village, Dr. Sam, it looks like a scene out of Chinua Achebe, 19th century, things fall apart, or Arrow of God, or something like that. What do you see that I don't see?
Oh, I see the village falling apart. That is, for example, this town hall used to be very, very beautiful. There are cracks in it now. Normally, if this was a proper, viable village, the people would be able to raise taxes locally on farm produce and processing and so on, and repair this edifice. But the governmental system in Africa only caters for Western educated people. Even though they are less than 15% of the population, from the president right down to the teacher, they get paid at the end of every month. No villager gets paid for anything. They get up in the morning, they go to their farms, they produce their cassava or yam or plantain. Nobody guarantees them a market. Nobody gives them loans. All the taxes raised in the country is for Western educated people like Kofi Sam. The villagers don't get anything.
Dr. Sam, let me ask you. In Accra, at the World Bank, in Washington, anywhere, who understands the vitality of villages? Who's working on it?
Nobody does. The reason is simple. The aid from World Bank, IMF, Oxfam, USAID, all that's in Accra. I don't know whether you stopped in Accra, but all the SUVs, four-wheel drives, beautiful mansions with swimming pool. You've just come to this village. Have you seen anything resembling any, even a tractor for cutting the cassava? And yet, a small tractor is about one-tenth the price of an SUV. So, and the World Bank official, I've been to America, to several places in England. I've told them, let those who are making noise about helping Africa and other places be challenged. Come to the village and ask them. They will tell you what they need. It's nearly the farming season now. There's no tractor here. They don't even have money to buy good cutlasses or hoes. They have no boots to put on their legs or feet. But somebody is collecting aid on their behalf. It's criminal.
Could you make it work?
Yes, Chris. I've met people like you. And there are lots of them all over the Western world. There could be channels of hope. What I'm saying is that what we have to do is to get people like you There are lots of you all over the world. You, people like you, should be challenged. Those who talk on our behalf. I'm getting $10,000 for a tractor. Visit Ghana in 2 years' time. I'm taking the tractor to Aburanza. If you like, Chris, don't give me the money. Transfer the money to a tractor manufacturer in India. Simple farm tractor. I'm going to wait for you in Ghana at Aburanza. Bring it there.
That's a deal. Dr. Sam, I'm just surprised that in a continent of villages, that people aren't paying first attention to the village. But then I'm naive.
You're not naive. It's Western education. There's a tunnel called Western education. Hmm. When you've passed through it, you don't want even to mention your village. Hmm. There's a distance between you and your village. Indeed, if you understood the local language, the people frying the gari were praising me, Dr. Sam, for having the courage to bring you to my village.
What's the courage?
That we despise it. We go and live in Accra and forget about the village. Western education helps you to learn very good English, to dress in beautiful suits, to live in air-conditioned office. Air-conditioned rooms. Have you seen any air-conditioned room at Aburanza? So Western education gives you a culture of separation, puts a distance between you and your ancestors and your kith and kin. That is why we keep trooping to the West. Sometimes we never come back. If we are lucky, we come back, we live in Accra and Kumasi and Takoradi.
You got British degrees and came back. How did you get out of the tunnel?
I am crazy. Everybody calls me crazy, including the former head of state, President Rawlings. I am not straight. I am bent. So I went to government and I got out. Because I couldn't get my colleagues to understand my way of thinking. Even some of my very rich relatives won't contribute to what I'm doing. Because they think there's something wrong somewhere. I'm a misfit in this society. Western educated cabinet minister sitting here with you.
No, Dr. Sam, they love you in this village, though. They don't feel separated from you, and you don't feel separated from them.
Yes. I know. I said I'm crazy. Yeah. For example, since I came back from England, I've never worn a suit. I only wear these pieces.
That's a gorgeous shirt you're wearing.
Yes, you think it's gorgeous. But Ghanaians only wear it on Fridays to work. They call it Friday wear. We only wear what we make only on Fridays.
Tell me your own story. This is the village of your birth.
Yes. I grew up here till I was about 8 years old. And I left this village and I went to continue my education. These days, it's almost impossible if you don't live in Accra or Kumasi to sit the exam and gain admission to a good school, a top school like Vatican. It's impossible. In my time, there were no private schools. So everybody had the same chance.
You grew up in Nkrumah time, basically.
Yes, yes.
What was the difference?
Big difference. Nkrumah was a socialist. So his funding was for only public institutions. So the chances were more even. When I went to Vatapim, Busumuru Kofi Annan was my classmate. Ah. Oh, yes. Vatapim. We finished in Vatapim in 1957. Mm. Then his uncle sent him to the States. And I went to Kumasi University. After Kumasi University, I went to London University. I get my master's, my PhD there.
You had a career, Dr. Sam, in steel, in engineering, and then in government. At some point, you saw a big flash of light. It said, appropriate technology, Aprotech. Can you tell us that story in less than 3 weeks?
Simple. At every point, I felt that everything we're doing, the teaching, the production of steel, the provision of facilities, were all geared towards my class, the elite. So I asked myself, why don't we develop? And I used the English word, we must do the appropriate things to develop. The technology must go back and improve and refine the then existing technologies. Because a lot of them were solar. Photosynthesis produces the cassava. Indeed, if we did the correct research, we wouldn't even need the firewood to fry the cassava. We can use convex lenses to trap the sun's heat to do the frying. Because heat we want. But we have made no effort in Africa to do any work on solar.
I wonder why not.
Because we are copycats. Acquired import dependency syndrome. Our type of AIDS is not acquired immune deficiency syndrome. It's acquired import dependency syndrome. So whatever the master does in England, we copy it. We build houses such that we can have air conditioners in them. And the cables are too hot, so fire outbreak. And we say it's sabotage. Yes. Our buildings should be big open windows, at best with fans. That is, even the imperialists, the white men who came here, that's how they used to build their bungalows. We've broken all of them down now. Replace them with glass houses in Accra. You see them? Glass, sealed glass. And then we wear suits with neckties, with socks, with underwear. Cover ourselves so that we'll feel heat. And then go into the office. And then call our secretaries to give us hot coffee, not cold cocoa. Hot coffee. Almost every big man in Ghana drinks hot coffee in the office, just like in England, with a suit. One air conditioner uses 2,000 watts of electricity. One home like this one uses only 50 watts. So Coffee Sam's kind, Dr. Sam's kind, uses electricity which can light 40 homes. One air conditioner.
Dr. Sam, talk about the basics. Shelter, medical care, clothing, food. Where would you begin? And how completely can you apply this idea?
Simple.
Native medicine is not going to cure malaria either, but...
You're wrong.
Really?
Christ, that's what my father told me. I made the same mistake you're making. He said the first white man who came here died, and they are buried in Cape Coast Castle. They died of malaria. But the African had a cure for malaria. That's why he lived in Africa.
Go back to the big four: shelter, food, medical care, and clothing.
Yes, man's basic needs. Grow cassava, yam, whatever it is. Process it and eat it. That's for the food angle. Shelter. Make bricks. usula. Clothing, grow the cotton, spin it, and tie it, big tie and dye like this. This cotton, this is from cotton from Ghana. Medicare, you've seen the herbs. You saw, but yes, plenty of herbs. You grow them once again, solar photosynthesis. God has given us all.
We've stopped here on the coastal road, maybe 6 or 8 miles west of Cape Coast, and Dr. Sam has introduced me to 5 beautiful young Ghanaian women making clothing.
The type of shirt I'm wearing was made by them from a cotton print, which was also big. And the unfortunate thing is that a lot of girls, when they finish primary school, can't go on to secondary school. So this center trains them free of charge. Free of charge. The sad aspect is that if you take this young lady, for instance, she's very keen to learn, but her parents want her to go to the farm, otherwise she can't eat in the evening. So sometimes we need sponsors to make it possible for this girl to eat.
These are gorgeous fabrics and beautiful dresses. Thank you. Keep cool.
Okay. Same to you. Bye.
We're in Isaman, between Abaranza and Cape Coast. What are all these people doing?
I told you earlier that this economy caters only for Dr. Sam and his kind. It doesn't cater for women like these who are employed in indigenous technology. She and her group of women make palm oil and use for soap. For soap, for food, for frying fish. So they group about 50 of them, produce palm oil. But thanks to technology, in the old days, we used to pound this in a pestle and a mortar. But now it's possible for us to grind it in the machine and extract the oil, palm oil.
We call this is appropriate technology, right?
That is it. You see this place? There's about 50 women work here. They pay taxes to the government. But they don't even have a roof under which they can work. So when I say that, Dr. Sam and my kind, we are vampires. You understand? We don't even provide them shelter. So when it's raining, they work under it. And yet the government takes taxes from them every year.
Looks like a steel plant.
It's all indigenous.
Smells good too.
Good. It does.
This is hard work.
Yeah.
Smoky.
You can see.
Long, difficult.
Yeah, proper kiln. Is that mean?
Tell me, what's the difference between this and imported corn oil?
We don't use it at all. In fact, we don't use it in this area.
We don't use
all the oil we use in this area is this palm oil and palm kernel oil.
Tell me your name.
My name is Sarah.
Sarah, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Your name is what?
Christopher.
Christopher. Fine. Thank you, Mr. Christopher.
Thank you, Madam Sarah.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so we're down the road in Isaman,
yes.
And looking at another appropriate technology for chairs. This is cane. Tell me about it.
Cane chairs. Cane grows wild. It just grows wild. Nobody plants it. in our forest reserves, plenty of them. Now, it's been traditional technology for a long time. All he needs is a knife. And he carves all these designs with his knife. In India, I've been to India, they've mechanized it. Pocho Raba, such that he uses lathes, simple lathes, to peel this thing, to cut it, to split this, so that they can produce big quantities of these for export. But this has remained at this level for 500 years. So all appropriate technology is asking for the investment we make into education, into scientific laboratory equipment. Let's stretch it to people like him. So we make equipment which will make his work easier, finer, and
much more productive too.
That is it. Because everybody says we must find work for young men. But just that the government gives scholarships to people like me. Why can't we give scholarships to young men so that for, say, $200, say even $100 a month?
Making cane furniture.
That is it.
Why not?
That is why I brought you here. Because you see, people think there's nothing in Africa. And now we have to import everything. I'm trying to show you that we don't have to import anything, from food to housing to furniture to clothes. And all that we need, those of you who bring money to Africa and it stops in Accra, let this artisan have some tools. I keep stressing tools. All he needs is tools. He will make his own money.
Most people don't know how green Ghana is.
Good. Ghana is green. And sometimes I wonder why we are hungry. I wonder why Oxfam or USAID brings that flour. You can make cassava flour.
Yes.
Bread. It can make kinky. It can make all sorts of things. The solutions, it's in our environment, from the ant to the sun to the rainfall. So, appropriate technology center, our motto is, science is universal. Technology is environmental. African intellectuals and scientists refuse to factor in the environment. African governments, especially. So, the African intellectual, I always say, it's like a bee which has forgotten how to make honey.
You know, I've heard this exact same complaint made in Singapore, on the other side of the world, by a great Chinese-Singaporean architect who said they want celebrity skyscraper builders in Singapore, and they've forgotten that we live in the tropics, that we're Chinese and Malaysian and Indian people, that you can't find the native culture, the indigenous culture, in Singapore either. How do we get over this? It's not just an African problem, although it's a big African problem.
Education system. Simple. I started by telling you, there's a tunnel. When the colonials were leaving, they left a system which will create people with acquired import dependency syndrome in every sphere, whether it's architecture, whether it's in clothing. For 50 years, we have not been able, as architects at the university, to design a building which does not use air conditioners. And the air conditioners, we don't make them. We import them. Acquired import
dependency syndrome.
And the education system makes it worse.
They imitate the Western education system. All of them. Mm. So nobody goes into design solar systems. We wait till Germany or Japan, then solar, then we import some. You said, asked me earlier, that what challenge should I give USAID and aid agencies? I said, let's get some capital so my sister and her kind can each construct 100 hen houses and start with 10 female layers. Mm. The whole life, the village life will improve. I come here on Sundays and I said, it's better to be here than playing tennis in Accra. Playing lawn tennis in Accra as exercise, the time is better spent exercising my life with them.
Dr. Sam, I want to live in your village.
You are welcome. It's a challenge. Except that you will forget when you go. A lot of friends like you come. Oh, I want to come and help. They never come.
I don't want to come and help. I want to come and live.
Yeah, I know. But if you come and live, your example will help. Our concerns will be transmitted to you, to people outside.
Will you help me find a place?
I said, when are you coming? Where you are standing is my land. I'm the chief here.
Dr. Sam, it's a beautiful place.
So when are you coming?
Before Christmas this year.
Okay, thank you. We'll be welcome. My God, we'll hold you on to it.
Good. I'll hold you to it, you hold me.
By the gods in Africa. I want people like you here to let the world know that the aids they give, the help they give, doesn't get to us. It's in Accra, in the swimming pools of Accra, in the golf courses of Accra, in the lawn tennis courts of Accra, in the restaurants of Accra.
Thank you. Let's go.
Threefold thanks to Dr. Kofi Sam for a great day in Abaranza, for an invitation I mean to honor to come back, and for one man's testimony about African self-sufficiency. Back at the Watson Institute at Brown University, Paul McCarthy edited my conversation with Dr. Kofi Sam. Listeners are all invited to feedback, please, on the whole range of arguments here with a comment on our website, radioopensource.org. I'm Christopher Lydon. Thank you for being part of the conversation.